Welcome to Brighttown Broadcast News for Wednesday, May 17th, 2023. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighttown. Thank you for joining me today. Well, myself and my dog. He's over here. Rhodey's here. You can't see him at the moment, but he's all cool. And so am I. So we've got a lot coming up for you today. Two big bombshell interviews. First, we have attorney Thomas Renz joining us with a bombshell audio recording that appears to be a recording of health practitioners in a hospital discussing how they were ordered to murder patients on one floor of a hospital. And Thomas Renz is an attorney, of course. He's involved in litigation representing one of the people who refused to murder patients. But today we're going to have a big discussion with Thomas Renz about the medical murder, the hospital homicide, or as he calls it, the killing fields, where COVID became this excuse for just total extermination of potentially millions of people around the world in the name of medicine. It's a shocking interview, and that's coming up here shortly. And then in our second interview today, we're interviewing Tony Lyons. He's the president of Skyhorse Publishing, and he's the co-founder of a new super PAC that's called AmericanValues2024.org, which is supporting a public education about issues that are near and dear to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is, of course, running for president for the Democrat Party. And I think we're going to have a very lively discussion about American values and even the Democrats. What's gone wrong with the Democrat Party, by the way, and also what's wrong with the Republican establishment these days, and what does RFK bring to the table? And frankly, what does Donald J. Trump bring to the table? Because they're both, in essence, outsiders in a sense, where their establishment party gatekeepers don't want them to have a shot at this. You know, the Democrats want to shove Joe Biden back into the White House a second time, proclaiming that he's fully qualified. That dude is barely qualified to wipe his own ass, I think, most days. But that's what America has become under corruption and criminality and the Democrat cartel. But we'll see. We'll see where all this goes. In the meantime, we're going to cover some headline news here. Oh, let me mention this. I know a lot of you have been enjoying all the documentaries that are streaming on Brighteon University. The website is brightu.com. It's just the letter U. I'll see if I can bring it up. Here it is, brightu.com. For the rest of this week, we are showing Fluoride Poison on Tap. And if you click here to register, you simply enter your name and email address, and you can watch the documentary for free. But coming up on May 27th, we have a brand new documentary by Adam Riva. It's called Human Farming, but it's spelled P-H-A-R-M-I-N-G, farming as in pharmaceuticals. And here's a little bit about it. Human farming evaluates the failures and counts the body bags and follows the money in this damning expose that will make you rethink everything you thought you knew about the medical industry. And I think this is right on target because, again, with my upcoming interview with Thomas Renz, we talk about medical murder, hospital homicide. And this documentary, starting May 27th, which is a Saturday, covers the how the pharmaceutical industry is, in fact, harming and killing millions of people around the world every year. And they're doing it in the name of public health while raking in record profits. So Human Farming is the documentary. It starts May 27th, Saturday. Just register for free at brightu.com, which is our Brighttown University website. And remember, every 1 to 2 weeks, we'll be rolling out a new documentary series that you can enjoy, and you can always watch them for free. Every one of them is free of charge. All right, now getting to today's news, we start at censored.news, and remember, this is where I post headlines throughout the day and also the evening that I think are the top stories that I intend to cover here on this broadcast. And this is from across the independent media, all kinds of different websites that we spider for this. Now, one of the stories I want to mention here is from Zero Hedge. Russia says it took out U.S.-supplied Patriot missile in a hypersonic strike on Kiev. And there is video footage circulating over the last day that appears to show a Patriot missile system launching something like upwards of 30 missiles from the ground into the sky. And then there appears to be a large explosion that silences the Patriot missile system. The Russians claim that they used a hypersonic missile, I think the Kinzhal missile, to take out this Patriot, anti-air defense system. However, Kiev and the Zelensky government claim that that did not happen and that they shot down all the Russian missiles, including the hypersonic missiles. And it's very hard for any of us to confirm really what's going on there because there's so much deliberate disinformation, especially from the Zelensky regime, we're constantly lying about everything. But also even from the Russian side, you don't know exactly what's true. There's, the TASS official news agency, and you don't know how much you can trust out of them either. So all we know for sure is it looks like last night a bunch of stuff blew up and probably the world wasted a lot of money, a lot of resources, and a lot of lives on an unnecessary war. So we join those who are calling for peace in Ukraine, and that means that the world powers, or NATO and Ukraine, they need to sit down with Russia, and they need to go to negotiate a way to end this war without more people dying and more money being wasted and more infrastructure being destroyed. But hey, war has a purpose to the Western cabal. They want war. They want more emergencies. They want more money laundering to the weapons establishment and so on. So the West keeps pushing war with Russia, and we are all caught in the middle. Very sad, especially for the Ukrainians. Now, here's a story out of Mishtalk. Dollar weaponization expands. FDIC message to foreign depositors is don't trust the U.S. So the weaponization of the U.S. dollar by U.S. agencies continues with a ruling by the FDIC. Now, here's what's astonishing about this story. Check this out. In March, the FDIC seized $14 billion in foreign deposits at Silicon Valley Bank. Most of those deposits were from Asia. Foreign depositors have been waiting for access to their money. The FDIC now says, sorry, too bad, poof. The Wall Street Journal reports that these depositors will not have access to their money. It's gone. Now, isn't that interesting that U.S. depositors, I believe, have been bailed out by the FDIC? We were told, that all the deposits would be covered, but there was kind of an asterisk for that. It turns out that foreign depositors were not covered. And so if you are not a U.S. citizen and you had money in that bank, your money is gone. And I did not realize that until this story. And this sends a very powerful, dangerous message to all foreign depositors, which is don't keep any of your money in U.S. banks because the FDIC won't bail you out. So that's going to cause a lot of wealthy foreigners, by the way, people who invest in businesses in America or sometimes real estate, depending on the situation, but they're going to pull their money out of the banks because of this ruling. And what's that going to cause? More bank failures. So the FDIC just guaranteed there would be more bank failures in the United States by incentivizing foreign depositors to pull their money out. It's almost like they want the U.S. banking system to collapse, huh? What an amazing coincidence. So there you go. Now, so next story is how Jeep Cherokees, 220,000 Jeep Cherokees are being recalled. And owners are being told to park their vehicles outside because, get this, they can catch fire even when the engines are off, according to the company. Now, you may recall that Jeep is another one of these brands that went woke. Jeep is all about virtue signaling and wokeism, and they seem to really hate America and hate the American people, and they hate American values. And isn't it interesting that just like Silicon Valley Bank abandoned the quality control of their bank, risk assessment, maybe not losing people's money. Well, Jeep apparently has abandoned quality control in their manufacturing, at least to the extent that affects these vehicles, which apparently can spontaneously ignite. In other words, by being a virtue signaling woke-tard corporation, Jeep has managed to build very expensive mobile lighters on wheels that will ignite at random moments and burn up everything next to them. Which is why you're being told that if you have one of these 220,000 Jeep Cherokees, you should not park it near anything that you don't want burned down, such as your house or other people's cars or in a parking garage or anywhere near any civilization, basically. Basically, they're telling you to drive your Jeep out to the desert and leave it there, abandon it, because it just might blow itself up or burn itself down. So this is from the years 2014 through 2016. Turns out that water can get into the computer, causing an electrical short that can touch off a fire, if you can believe that. Yeah. And there's not even a fix yet. So, and letters are going to go out to people starting June 30th. So if you have one of these self-igniting, virtue-signaling, woke Jeeps, it might just burst into flames before you even get the letter from the Jeep company. One more reason to buy Jeep. Okay. Or not. All right, here's these, I tell you, these corporations. Hey, maybe focus on quality control instead of being a bunch of virtue signaling morons. And then maybe your products won't ignite all the time. How about that? There's an idea. All right, next story from Remix News out of Europe. Exclusive. Dutch farmer families are crying at the kitchen table every day. And some have committed suicide, warns Dutch MEP Robert Roos, I'm not sure how you pronounce that, about government farm expropriation plans. So this is about the Dutch government, of course, seizing and shutting down farms. This is all being done in the name of the climate cult to shut down the farms. They claim that nitrogen is a horrible pollutant and therefore you can't have any farm animals. So they're seizing these farms and shutting them down, and these farmers are having their lives absolutely destroyed, and if they don't go along with the buyout proposals, their land will be confiscated at gunpoint by a rogue, tyrannical government. And they're being offered some money for their land, but, you know, hey, if it's a family farm, it's not for sale at any price. You know, that farm is your livelihood. That farm perhaps has been in your family for centuries. And that's true in the Netherlands. Many families have been on those farms for centuries. They're not for sale at any price. And so lives are being destroyed, farms are being destroyed, and the food supply is being destroyed, and it's all on purpose. By the way, this is the Dutch government destroying the European people on purpose as part of the global depopulation extermination plan that is also being carried out in the United States. So farmers are killing themselves, and that's what the Dutch government is putting them through. Think about that. Yeah, it's pretty sick. Okay, speaking of killing people, here's a story from the Washington Free Beacon, how a left-wing activist group teamed up with Big Pharma to push radical gender ideology on American hospitals. It's called the Human Rights Campaign Healthcare Equality Index, which was bankrolled by who? Ding, 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 Pfizer. Oh, what do you know? Pfizer, that makes the chemical castration drugs that castrate the little boys and girls. They're bankrolling this campaign, which is pushing hospitals and surgeons to mutilate children's genitals. If you go through this story, it's unbelievable that this is happening in modern medicine. The hospitals have become murder centers. They've become mutilation centers. They are literally mutilating children for profit. And of course, Pfizer is involved with this radical left-wing group that's pushing all of this, and then they claim to care about people, they claim to care about children, they claim to care about human rights while they're mutilating children. It's just unbelievable. And speaking of the abuse of children, here's a story out of Blacklisted News. WHO states that sex education starts from birth. What? I guess it's never too young for the globalists to commit perverted pedophile acts on children. The United Nations seeks to decriminalize sex with minors. This is true. So the UN is trying to say that no one should ever be criminalized for having sex with a child. And then the WHO wants to support, again, the World Health Organization. Maybe they should be called the World Hell Organization. They want to support mutilations from birth. So what's going to happen now is a child's going to be born, and the parents are going to say, oh, I think, you know, the twisted left-wing parents, they're going to say, oh, I think that child wants to be a girl, not a boy. Because, you know, they say that gender is assigned at birth, which is nonsense. Gender is determined, frankly, at the moment of conception, by the way. It's a genetic blueprint that is either male or female from the moment of conception, by the way. But they want to say that this child that was just born is the wrong gender, and they want to mutilate newborns so that hospitals can make more money and these satanic surgeons can make more money and the drug companies can make more money, altering the chemical makeup and the hormonal balance of these infants. There's no child that's too young for the World Health Organization to mutilate or for the United Nations to rape or sodomize. Think about that. That's a true statement. And that's how sick and demonic our world has become. No Child Left Behind was the name of one of the policies, I think. Was that the Obama years? Now it's No Child Left Unmutilated from the United Nations and the WHO. And remember, these are the groups that tried to mass murder billions of human beings with bioweapons and so-called vaccines, which are also bioweapons. So first, they want to murder you. They want to make you sick. They want to enslave you. And then they want to mutilate you or your children, or maybe abort your child. Maybe you have a spontaneous abortion from the vaccine, so you can't even have children. This is a war against humanity. And the WHO and the United Nations are two of the most evil organizations on planet Earth. And they should be non-violently eradicated from this planet through the rule of law. In other words, these people should be prosecuted for their heinous crimes against humanity and against children. This is a Holocaust against children that's being carried out in the name of transgenderism. And it has the full backing of all the evil institutions of our society. And these policies have the backing of all the evil institutional organizations of our society, the pediatrics associations and the medical associations and the medical schools and the governments and the big tech and the mainstream media. These are all pure evil, run by demons, and they want to murder and mutilate children at younger and younger ages. It's truly incredible. Did you ever think that you'd be living in a world like this, where you had to say, hey, stop mutilating children? I mean, what? Why do we even have to talk about that? That's completely insane. All right, these are strange times for sure. But I'll tell you what, you want to hear some more even very crazy, strange information? Let's bring on, let's do our interview with attorney Tom Renz, because he's got this audio recording that apparently is bombshell, pretty horrifying, about medical murder taking place in the hospitals in the United States. And I think that's going to be a shocking conversation. So that interview is straight ahead right here on Brighteon Broadcast News. Stay with us. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, and today we're joined by one of my favorite people, attorney Thomas Renz. His website is TomRenz.com. That's spelled R-E-N-Z, by the way. TomRenz.com, and he has breaking news. He posted a video just recently of, I believe it's a nurse. He'll tell us. Well, let me just bring him in. Thomas, it's awesome to have you on. Welcome to the show. Thank you for all your courage and how you're fighting for freedom in America. It's just great to have you here.
Well, glad to be here, Mike. It's been too long. I always appreciate seeing you.
Yeah, it's nice to see you too. It's hard for us to get together because we're both so dang busy doing so many things. You are helping so many people on the legal side of things. But right now you've got a whistleblower. This is almost like a Project Veritas style thing. Not exactly the same, but walk us through this and then we'll play the audio for the audience. What is this we're about to hear?
Yeah, so I have a client and she's got a lawsuit for religious discrimination. She is a Stanford-educated PhD in pharmacy. She's a mom of five, good, credible lady. Ran clinical trials for Big Pharma, actually. I mean, she's really a high-end pharmacist. She went back into the hospital system, wanted to be in patient care. And this COVID stuff happened. She says, you know, listen, I don't like what I'm seeing in these hospitals in my hospital. And the hospital's asking me to sign off on a protocol that I think, you know, could result in death. You know, it could hasten death in certain cases. She said that she was uncomfortable with it. So she said, you know, hey, can I have a religious exemption? Because I can't sign off on a blanket policy that's going to potentially kill people. And the hospital said no, fired her and retaliated. All sorts of issues. So anyways, while this was all happening, she started recording things. You record to have evidence. And the clip that you're about to play is a conversation between her and a nurse talking about some stuff happening in the hospital, literally talking about what they were doing there. So,
wow. Okay. All right. I'm going to hit play and we'll give it a listen.
This transfer, but because did you know the politics? If you complain or stir it,
right,
they're gonna shut you up and move you out.
Yeah, because I have,
but I couldn't live with
that. I asked a teacher, say, what's okay? Are we hospice floor? What's the deal? She said that Dr. Spiegel said this floor is gonna be his patients. So I was like,
See, I don't have to always do the.
So we're killing the patients this floor because they're doing what he's asking us. Well, other floors don't want to do it.
Yeah. I couldn't sleep at night. I just, and then when that nurse practitioner, when you got that patient to do the morphine and you're like, she doesn't need it. And I was just like, this is what I'm talking about. It's not right.
If they're okay, they're okay. If they're comfortable, they're comfortable. We can tell when they're in pain. We can tell when they're agitated. We can tell when they are whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make that you keep giving them medication just to knock them out. Because apparently that's what you were doing.
Because I remember that day you were like, you got the other nurses to come in, and I'm just like, I know, that's what they're doing.
Wow. So, wow. Okay, that's disturbing. They're describing that an entire floor of the hospital is dedicated to essentially killing patients.
Yeah, that's precisely what it sounds like they're describing. You know, what's this nurse, you know, she says, the doctor, he's telling them what to do. And I mean, I don't know. It to me, when I see this, it conjures up images of Auschwitz. I mean, it's they're killing people. They're, you know, forcing them. They're giving them these injections. They're doing these things. You know, they're giving them medication that apparently they don't need, or too much medication. I mean, she talks about the morphine there. You know, I don't know. I mean, when the hospitals are literally, they're killing people, the other floors don't want to do it.
Yeah, that's right. Right. That the other workers refused this because it's so egregious. So this floor is dedicated to killing patients. But we also know, Tom, that hospitals were mass murder centers just with ventilators. We've seen the research come out on that. I know you've seen that most of the so-called COVID deaths were actually infections caused by ventilators and remdesivir and the COVID protocols. And then additionally, these hospitals got financially rewarded for killing patients. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, in many cases, per fatality that they caused.
Yeah. Well, let me be real clear about this. This was manufactured via the laws that we passed. We passed laws that said, we're going to give you more money if you call it COVID, regardless of what it is. We're going to give you more money if you put them on a vent. And we're going to give you more money if we give them remdesivir. And we're going to give you even more money if we kill them. And then not only are we going to give you more money for following the protocols and doing all the things that we're telling you to do, we're going to give you immunity so that the lawyers can't sue you for murdering the family members. So, wow. You know, what we did was we set up a situation where we protected hospitals from murdering people.
When you say we, you mean the government. You mean the American government.
We the government. We the American people. We the American people. And you know what? We all got to take a hand in this. I mean, I've been fighting this since day one, Mike. You know I've been fighting it. You know how I fight it. I've fought everything that happens.
Yes.
And I'm going to say, we the American people, by allowing these laws to stand, by not doing something about it, by not fighting it, we the people created a situation through a corrupt government where we facilitated the murder of God knows how many. All I know is this situation is one where I've got an audio tape describing it, but it's a situation that I've heard firsthand whistleblower accounts over and over and over again. It's just the first time that I've got an audio tape that I can share where so that everybody else can hear it too.
Would it be an exaggeration to say that you've heard this from 500 people already?
No, that would not be an exaggeration. If I would say that if 500 nurses or doctors, I would say that if we talk about people collectively, including patient families, it's been thousands.
Yeah, because your phone, it just blows up constantly. I know because so many people for years since I've known you, people have been reaching out to you desperate for help because often they had a loved one who was being murdered in a hospital and the hospital would not allow the family member to even have access to their own spouse or daughter or mother or I mean, it is Auschwitz. It's the modern day version of Auschwitz, but in a way it's hard to compare morality. It's evil in every case, but the intensity of this evil, that it involves an entire profession that's supposed to be healing people and helping people recover, that profession has been perverted into a murderous regime, hospital homicide. Somehow that's even more evil.
Yeah, well, understand something. So let me talk about the Auschwitz comparison. One of the things that was really prominent in World War II was uninformed consent and medical experimentation on people. And it's horrific. That's where the concept of informed consent came from, for anybody that doesn't know. And, you know, from that, we got to understand, in this instance, we had uninformed consent on remdesivir over and over again. We had hospitals. Do you know how many times I have people coming forward telling me that the doctors were standing at the foot of the bed screaming at the patient, "You're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to take this or you're going to die." That we had over and over again stories of egregious and horrifying abuse. We had experimented. There was no option. There was no my body, my choice, right? There was no, hey, can we try ivermectin? Oh my God, no, you're not trying that. Well, wow. You just told me I'm going to die. If I'm going to die, why isn't it my choice? Isn't there some legislation out there that says it is? And the answer is yes. President Trump passed some legislation that would have, as fussy as we are with President Trump on the vaccine, he did pass some good legislation that says, you know, if we've tried everything else, you can try what you want to try. You know, but it was my body, my choice if you want to kill a baby. But when it came to trying, you know, something like ivermectin or HCQ, Nobel Prize winning, you know, type drugs that are safe and effective and have done wonderful for years, those, oh, no, there's nothing there. We, in this case, we not only denied informed consent in terms of trying out new drugs like remdesivir, which, you know, they had to pull with, from clinical trials due to the incredibly dangerous results that they were getting. But they also denied informed consent in the sense that they withheld true information about drugs like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine.
Right.
That could have potentially saved millions of lives.
Well, you know, I've taken ivermectin numerous times when I became symptomatic, and I have direct family members that I credit ivermectin with saving their lives from COVID.
Yeah. Well, I've taken it quite a few times myself. And I'll tell you, you know, so for me, ivermectin, it's wonderful in terms of eliminating when I've had any sort of issues with this. I get a minor side effect from it. It makes my belly a little off, but that's it, right? So most people that I know, and I know a lot of people, and you and I have, you know, mutual friends, many of whom have taken this fairly consistently for several years now to make sure that they weren't getting sick, and it's worked great and they've had no side effects.
Yeah.
I mean, a simple fact of the matter is that it won a Nobel Prize because it is safe and effective, unlike the lies that they told about the garbage we're getting.
So getting back to this video, you're representing this client. And by the way, I know because people are going to ask you this, what does your shirt say about Fauci?
Fauci for Gitmo.
Fauci what? Oh, for Gitmo. Oh, okay. Cause we can't see that because the microphone's there.
Yeah.
Fauci for Gitmo.
We have Fauci for Gitmo.
Okay, great. All right. That makes sense.
Yep. Yep.
All right, nice. But getting back to the story, then, is your client is suing the hospital?
Yeah, my client was we believe that my client was discriminated against because she requested an exemption from okaying, pushing, accepting the policies that she believed were going to kill people. And said, you know, it's against my religion to kill people. And hospital said, we don't care.
Wow.
We think that that's it's kind of an interesting case. It's not a very common case. I can't say that I know of another case that I've had to file quite like this. But I'll tell you, I think what's really important here, though, is this particular piece of evidence, Mike, to me indicates that there ought to be an investigation for criminal wrongdoing. And that investigation, I would say that the Alabama AG ought to be involved, maybe the local law enforcement and several others. And I'm hoping that this is shared. I posted this as a tweet, and I'm hoping people help me push that tweet so that it continues to grow and to go further. I'd like to see that go viral enough that we can kind of see some action on it, because at the end of the day, there is no immunity from intentional wrongdoing. And if these guys knew what they were doing and they did it anyways, that looks
pretty bad. That's my next question, because I believe we need criminal investigations involving every major hospital across the country. And I wanted to ask you, because you're an attorney and you're handling a lot of these cases, you know, if someone is a doctor and they're ordered by the government to engage in a medical intervention that they know substantially increases the risk of death of the patient and is not medically justified, or there are better alternatives, then what is the level of complicity or liability on the part of that doctor for participating in that intervention if the patient dies?
Well, to be clear, we can't say that we know that the doctor was ordered by anyone to do this other than apparently or possibly the hospital system. Now, this is an Ascension hospital, which is a huge system, huge, huge system. And by the way, interestingly enough, Ascension Hospital is headquartered in St. Louis, Missouri, you know, where we just saw the opposition to our informed consent bill that we were trying to push.
Right.
But what it looks like is that this was implemented at the hospital or hospital system level around the country and coordinated. And I would guess somewhere along the line, there was some advice given from the feds and some incentives provided by the feds. But the actual decision to implement these killing fields looks like it may have been done in the system. So the question then is, you know, I mean, if that's the case, there's no immunity at all on this. I mean, at the end of the day, if the CARES Act, all the PREP Acts, all these things, there's a carve out. Intentional behavior is not, there's no immunity there, right? So if you were to walk up and shoot someone in the head, there's no immunity, because you claim it was a COVID treatment. And in the same way, if you OD someone on a drug, or give them a drug cocktail that, you know, in combination is going to result in their death being hastened, there's no immunity there. I mean, because if you know, when we talk about this, we heard there, Mike, was morphine, right? How long has morphine been out? It's not a new drug.
No.
We know how much morphine's too much, and we know that if you use it with certain other drugs, we know exactly what happens. Now, you've got a Stanford-educated pharmacist who's telling you, hey, there's a problem here. And instead of looking and immediately saying, okay, well, we need to look at this protocol and decide what's best for our patients and see whether there's an issue, this hospital plows ahead and says, you know, they fire the pharmacist and plows ahead with the protocols to really, you know, try and push this. Well, how much more evidence of intent can you have? You know, they're making big bucks off of this, you know.
Well, yeah, exactly. There's a profit incentive in this, but I think there's another bigger issue, which I believe is part of the reason why you feel it is urgent to fight this, that if they aren't stopped now, well, they can do this again in the next plandemic. And there's already, they're talking about the next pandemic, and it might be even scarier in a way. It will certainly come with a lot of media fear-mongering. Well, what if the hospitals decide for the next pandemic, the appropriate treatment, you know, increases your risk of death by 1,000 times above normal background levels? Well, you know, they're going to pull the same thing. And at some point, we have to say, my God, you can't just kill people and call it treatment, because that's a crime.
Yep. Absolutely. I mean, that's it. That's it. Right. If we don't have accountability in COVID, then they'll do it again. And we know that they're working on their next pandemic. I mean, we know that. We've got paperwork. I got all sorts of stuff on that. You know, there's a handful of things that may be the next pandemic. We're not 100% sure on what it's going to be, but, you know, it looks like it's coming. My guess is that we'll see it sometime in 2025, probably right around the time that that WHO treaty is supposed to be fully implemented and ratified. And, you know, I mean, I don't think there's any question that that's the goal. But if we don't get some accountability, that's where we end up going with it.
And isn't it amazing how quickly medical staff and doctors and hospital administrators across the board just instantly abandoned the Hippocratic Oath, you know, medical ethics, even the American Medical Association medical ethics? They just abandoned all that instantly. Most of them did, not all, but most of them. And decided to just do whatever they were ordered to do, which resulted in killing and maiming who knows how many millions of innocent Americans. But isn't that shocking that there wasn't more resistance against this?
I think it's very shocking and sad. But I will tell you this, not from the AMA or the state medical boards. Those were all bought and paid for by pharma. I mean, those guys are owned by pharma, so I'm not surprised at all there. I mean, the amount of money that goes to the various medical boards from pharmaceuticals, I mean, they might as well just retitle them, you know, Pfizer subsidiary 1 through 50. But the thing that is a bit surprising is the doctors, but I think that ties in with something, Mike, that I'm working on. So I posted, a week or two ago, thing about Operation Nightingale, which I think you're aware of. That's where it's the DOJ investigation into the fake nurses. And what they had found is that there were thousands and thousands of fake nurses around the country. They had gotten fake credentials from some hospitals, and they were going after this on a large scale.
Yes.
And I don't know, I can't prove this yet, but I'm working on an angle here and I'm investigating this. And I suspect one of the things that we saw is we have enough anecdotal evidence that it's worth investigating, and that's where I'm at. But one of the things that we saw was a lot of doctors with credentials from foreign countries, which may or may not have been valid, and a lot of nurses with fake credentials. And, it looks like a lot of the medical professionals quit. They just walked away. And a certain number of them were replaced by fakes. And then others had just sold out. Now, early on, I would say some of them were lied to and believed it. And I think at some point, you know, they probably, there were a fair number that would have become aware and just were so sickened by it that they were too ashamed or embarrassed to speak out and continued on. Whatever the reason is, it's horrifying. Horrifying that we have medical professionals who, instead of healing, took part in killing. And we need to ferret out which ones are which, and the ones that did this need to be held accountable.
Hospital homicide, medical murder. You described it as the killing fields on a floor by floor basis at some hospitals that you're directly involved with in terms of legal action. It is extraordinary. In fact, it's so horrifying that I think the typical oblivious person can't accept it. They can't believe that their doctor might have gone along with the coordinated systematic murder of patients. It's unthinkable to them. And isn't that part of the reason why they're getting away with it? I mean, even in the Third Reich, there were plenty of people in Jewish ethnic communities who were kind of downplaying the the talk of other Jews being rounded up. You know, a lot of, I read books about this in history. A lot of Jewish families said, oh, stop being negative. No one's being rounded up. No one's being thrown into gas ovens and killed. But it was happening, in fact. Just people couldn't believe it.
Well, and this is the thing. So I studied a lot on World War II, and I think it's what happened to the Jewish people in World War II is so shocking and so hard to fathom that to this day, I think even though we all know what happened, it's hard to wrap your head around. I mean, you wrap your head around living people being put in an incinerator. I mean, I can't even fathom that.
Yeah.
And to do so just because of their you know, ethnicity or their beliefs or whatever, it's beyond comprehension. And that's the thing, though, right? That is the thing. If you do sometimes things that are so evil that you can't comprehend them are easier to get away with than things that you can, because no one can look at it. And I do think, I mean, listen, we've got Anthony Fauci, the NIH, the DOD, all these people who are involved. They create this disease in the Wuhan lab. It gets out. I think there's an argument to be made that it was released intentionally, but, you know, regardless, it's out. And people start dying. Not many, though. So they lie about the numbers. They inflate the danger. You know, the flu went away for 1 year, 1 year only.
Right.
You know, they blamed everything on COVID, whether it was COVID or not. They denied any sort of treatment for anything that could be treated so that they could call it a COVID and death, instead put you on these protocols, because why not? You can't get sued for it as long as you call it COVID. I mean, we create a legal structure and an economic structure to fund this murder on a massive, massive scale. And then, you know, as it's happening, you know, I'm getting phone call after phone call. Hey, they won't let me see my loved one. Hey, they told me my loved one's going to die in 1 week. So why can't they let me try ivermectin if they're going to die anyways? Hey, you know, they're insisting on remdesivir. We don't want remdesivir, but they're forcing my loved one to take it. You know, I had cases. I had one instance where a client came to me and their loved one was a veteran, PTSD. And this guy was a bit belligerent and hard to deal with because he's having PTSD issues. And the orderlies actually physically beat this guy, tied him to his bed till he would just lay there and wet himself. We had instances where, you know, we would hear stories of loved ones being locked out of the room and their family, you know, just why they had to watch their loved one die alone. They're crying. And just, please let me see my wife, my sister, my whatever. Please, please, please. Nothing. You know, these doctors just screaming at people. The worst, most horrific things anybody's ever seen. But no one wants to believe, well, that's another hospital. Oh, that's a rare thing. That's an isolated incident. I don't care if it happened once. It's too many. And the idea that we're going to just turn a blind eye to this and not investigate it, when I know, you know, you can only take so many phone calls, you know, hearing this all over the country before you start realizing how systemic it is, you know, it's something that has to be addressed.
Well, clearly, and it's horrifying even to hear those accounts that you're sharing with us here. But you mentioned earlier, you thought that maybe the next pandemic might occur in 2025. And I was thinking that that's just about the time that a lot of new construction on these quarantine centers will be completed in various states in the United States and also various countries. Isn't it interesting that the COVID pandemic is declared to be over, but countries like Australia, New Zealand, and even states like Washington are still building quarantine camps? Isn't that interesting? And yeah. Folks, and this is me saying this, not you, Thomas, but if they're willing to kill patients in hospitals on purpose, medical murder, you think they won't round you up and throw you into a death camp that they call a quarantine center and exterminate you in those camps? You bet they will. Absolutely they will. And most people will follow orders. And that's the shocking truth that comes out of this. Most doctors will follow orders. Most nurses, not all, will follow orders. Most hospital administrators, they will follow orders. And they will do it for money, right? And the government can always print money to reward them for extermination of other human beings. So none of us are safe. as long as this phenomenon goes unaddressed, none of us is safe in this country. Would you agree?
I absolutely wholeheartedly agree. I mean, listen, Mike, we know this. Okay, we looked at this. We studied this. Statistically, children had 0% risk of death from COVID. There's no statistical risk from COVID. Yet these guys, who we now know didn't study, didn't even bother to do a study to see if the vaccines prevent transmission. Remember, the kids have to get vaccinated to keep grandma safe?
Right.
They didn't even study to see whether it'd have any impact. They didn't even check. They didn't even look. Yet the kids have to do it. They have to take these vaccines that are a huge, huge risk to their health because, I don't know. So these people are willing to experiment and kill children because there's no benefit to these vaccines, only risk, no benefit. And the farther out we get, the more we realize that these vaccines not only provide no benefit, they provide risk, a substantial risk without benefit. So, and for children who were at no risk of the disease, to take an experimental vaccine that doesn't prevent the transmission is inexcusable. You're exposing children to the risk of death with no benefit, none whatsoever. So do you think that people who knew this, and make no mistake, they knew it, I've got the paperwork. Do you think that people who knew this and who are willing to experiment and watch kids die, you think they're going to hesitate to do something wrong elsewhere? What do you trust these guys? You know, this is insanity if you trust these people. Okay, it's literally insane. These are people who are willing to hospital murders. I mean, they've shown themselves willing to kill, willing to let people die, to let innocents die, to withhold treatments that they knew were good. Early treatment, we've known it works from the beginning. They just covered it up. They lied. They created false studies. HEQ study that suggested it was dangerous was an absolute fraud, and they know that.
You know, it makes you wonder, anytime the government wants higher casualty numbers for their political purposes, it really makes you question what hospitals and doctors would do. For example, let's suppose there were, let's suppose a dirty bomb, a radioactive bomb went off in a U.S. city. The feds and the FBI recently drilled in Houston, Texas. What happens if Houston gets hit by a nuke? Now, let's suppose that, God forbid, a nuclear missile strikes Houston, Texas. Lots of people are exposed to radiation. Those people flood into the hospitals. How do we know the hospitals won't murder them so that the Biden regime can claim more Americans were killed by a nuclear missile? Because that's exactly what happened in COVID.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, listen, here's the thing. There's so many scenarios that we can imagine that, you know, this goes back to what I say. When do you trust a liar? You don't, right? I mean, we can come up with fake scenario after fake scenario after fake scenario that are only fake till they do it. But again, if you're a liar, why wouldn't you lie? And why would we trust you to not lie? And that's the problem, is our government has shown that they're not working in our best interests. They're working in their best interests. You know, they're demonstrating that there is no accountability. And it's time that we, the people, retake our government peacefully, properly. But it is absolutely time that we take steps. We need accountability. I'm going to be real honest with you. One of the things that is an absolute necessary, a necessity, is our intelligence community and our Department of Defense and our DOJ, that we have to have transparency and accountability there. Right now, you have one elected official, that's the president, and our current president poops his pants because he doesn't even know where he's at. You've got one elected official who's trying to oversee a huge, huge number of people with thousands and thousands of top secret projects and missions and things that are going on. And those top secret things are things that sometimes no one else in the federal government can know about, including Congress. We just keep funding these people to do whatever it is that they want to do with no oversight whatsoever. And with COVID, we now know, I mean, we've got evidence of the CIA's involvement of its creation. We know that the DOD was involved with the distribution of the vaccine.
That's right.
We know that the DOD was involved with every step. We know that to this day, the DOD hasn't even bothered to respond under oath to the DMED data that I dropped. There's still no been no official response. They said all it was a fact checked us with some random leftist fact checker. Oh, there was a glitch. And that's all they said. There's never been an under oath response to that. Our DOD and these people are unelected, unaccountable. And, you know, we talk about if you're a Trump guy, if you're a whatever you are. You see, the Durham report just came out. Here's the thing. These people are unelected, unaccountable, and they are the swamp. They are the core of the swamp. And until we clean that out, we're going to be in trouble.
Well, right. And to add to that, now the DOJ and even the DOD and the CIA, they have taken all of the surveillance technology that they originally built, claiming to surveil, you know, radical Islamic terrorists. Yep. And now they've directed that to vaccine skeptics.
Yep.
People like you and I, and perhaps those watching this. So now you are the targets of this surveillance, and the entire government apparatus is being used to try to not just suppress you and blacklist you, but to murder you, actually, to quite literally murder you. Our government, they have become terrorists that are far worse than anything that Middle Eastern terrorists ever threatened against our country. I didn't see radical Muslim extremists running around the hospitals murdering patients, but I saw American doctors doing that.
That's
every
exactly
day.
Right. That's exactly right. I, you know, one of the things that I've seen is it's interesting because things have gotten really bad, and it's amazing. You can always tell what they're doing because they accuse us of it, right?
Right.
So I don't care whether you're black, white, yellow, green. I don't care if you're gay, straight, or whatever. I don't care if you are Christian, Muslim, Jewish. At the end of the day, the one thing that we have to come together on is freedom, right? You have the freedom to live your life. Now, I don't have to like how you live your life. I don't have to agree with how you live your life. But you do have the freedom to choose how to live it. Except for, you know, our government is trying to facilitate that ending. You know, we see a war right now. It's like when they like to talk to us about Christian nationals. Okay, so let me tell you what. I'm a proud Christian national. I believe in Jesus Christ, who told me to love my neighbor, treat my enemies with love, to treat people with respect, do unto others, do nice things and good things for people. What's wrong with that? I also believe in America, nation that brought about equality, suffrage, ended slavery, promoted freedom around the world, and created more prosperity than any other country in history. Which part of my Christian nationalism is a problem for you? And the thing about this is they want to go after that. They want to paint that as though there's something wrong. And why is our government investigating people who believe that America's great? For American government to investigate people, nationalists, that means that you believe in your nation. It's not a bad word.
Right, right.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
No, they use it as a slur.
Yeah.
It's insane. You're not allowed to love America or the American flag, which I'm showing behind me here on the big screen. But one other thing, and then we're going to wrap this up, Thomas, but isn't it fascinating that the very same companies like Pfizer that push the vaccine are also pushing all the transgender clinics and the chemical castrations of children, and that whole medical economy now is based on mutilating children for profit. So if you thought, well, there's no way they would murder patients for profit, but they're mutilating children for profit. You see, I mean, it's the same abandonment of values and humanity. These are crimes against children now.
Or worse. I mean, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. To me, anyone that would do this to a child should be in jail for the rest of their life. It's one of the most disgusting things. It's definitely child abuse. You know, I've got a 10-year-old and a 13-year-old. You're going to tell me, and my 10-year-old and 13-year-old are not in the universe of being mature enough to make this sort of a decision. Yet these perverts, these sick perverts, you know, they want to push this on preschoolers.
Yeah.
They want to push us. You know, it's like DeSantis. They want to call that bill the Don't Say Gay bill. That has nothing to do with the bill. But I want to know, you know, the thing that I didn't hear DeSantis doing that, and I wish he would have, is why didn't he turn that around on? Why is it Don't Say Gay? What kind of a sick pervert talks to a kindergartner about sex? They don't even know what it is. They're prepubescent. They're sexless. I mean, I got kids. They don't think about that stuff. They don't know about that. It does. It's irrelevant to them. At the age of 4 or 5 years old, there is no sex in a child's life. Only when a sick pervert introduces it to them does that become a thing. And these people that are screaming, well, we need to do this with children, these are pedophiles. These are sick, sick people. And then you want to mutilate a child, permanently disable it. No, listen, you know, Mike, I've said this before. Hey, I'm a dinosaur. So, you know, so I'm going to go to the doctor. I'm going to have someone sew a tail on me. I'm going to tattoo myself having green scales. And I'm going to tell you I'm a dinosaur. Does that make me a dinosaur? No, it makes me an idiot. The idea, you can't change what you are, right? It used to be called gender dysphoria disorder, dysphoric disorder. And the thing about this is, at the end of the day, I'm sorry, if you're a 40-some-year-old man or woman and you decide that you want to go through this because you've gone through all the appropriate counseling and you've got that disorder, and between you and your doctor or nurse, you decide that's the right thing to do, well, it's a free country. You start pushing this on a child, that's nothing but child abuse. And I find it sick beyond words. Yeah,
horrific crime. I agree. I think these surgeons that mutilate children should be behind bars for life. And I also think that any state medical association that supports that kind of activity, those people should be criminally prosecuted for their complicity in that. Every single one of them should be prosecuted and imprisoned. And because the example I use is, you know, let's say you have a six-year-old young boy who says, oh, I want to be a pirate. Well, you don't take him to the doctor and gouge out one of his eyes and cut off a leg. No. Oh, you're a pirate now.
Yeah,
I mean, that's because that would be insane. But when the boy says, oh, I want to be a girl, then, you know, a third of the country says, oh, yeah, go cut off organs and chemically castrate. And that's OK. It's just as insane.
And there's no difference. You're not a girl.
That's right.
There's no difference. You're a guy that got something cut off. You know, you're still a dude. You can't, just like I said, I can tell you I'm a dinosaur. I can get a tattoo that makes me look like a dinosaur. You can sew a tail on my butt. I'm still a guy with a tail on my butt at that point. It doesn't change who I am or what I am. You know, the only thing you can do is change your look, but that does not change the way that you were made. It just doesn't. There's no way to do that.
Yeah, you may be giving Pfizer ideas. Trans species, like prehistoric transgenderism. You want to be a pterodactyl today. You want to be a brontosaurus. How about a triceratops? How about that, Tom?
I'm in,
a triceratops?
Man. I'm in. I'm going to get a mask for my next Brighty on show. I'm going to be dressed like a dinosaur. The time runs dinosaur hour.
Exactly.
Something.
Well, wrapping this up, let me give out your website, tomrenz.com. That's spelled R-E-N-Z, tomrenz.com. Here's the site. Anything else you want to add, Tom, before we wrap this up?
We got to keep fighting back. The biggest thing that I want to do is I need to keep pushing the message out. It needs to be out as far and wide as possible. I need help making these things viral. Mike, you and I have talked, and it's kind of ironic because you and I are both actually pretty private people. I don't think you and I ever had any aspirations. I know I didn't have any aspirations ever having anybody see my face. And I don't think you were particularly into it either, but look at what we've had to do for our country.
No, we never sought publicity.
No.
We simply stood up and said what had to be stated.
And we continue it. But since the horse is out of the barn, and since we have to do this, we need people's help to do it well. We've got to get this shared. We've got to share Brighty on, got to share our shows. We've got to share our websites. And I really need help pushing this tweet out viral and pushing this information out. That video needs to be everywhere. Everyone who lost a loved one needs to see that and start asking the question, did this happen to my loved one?
Well, yeah, let's make sure that gets posted onto Brighteon.com as a standalone video. And also remind us, when is your show on Brighteon.tv?
11:30 today it was actually. So 11:30 Tuesdays, that show should be posted online for everybody to rewatch later. And if you know, make sure you're taking a look at it, because we did a full show on Deep Dive, just like we're doing here. And, you know, we need to get the word out.
Okay. You hear that, everybody. So check out the Tom Renz Show on Brighteon.tv. The archived episodes are posted on Brighteon.com under the channel called Brighteon TV, by the way, if you miss it live, or you can just watch it live on Brighteon.tv each week. Also check out TomRenz.com, the website. And if you just scroll down, you'll find that video here. It's got kind of the black blank thumbnail.
Yep.
That's the video that we're talking about. And folks, post that everywhere, share that everywhere, get it all over social media, repost it on Brighteon, Rumble, everywhere. Just get this out, because, of course, the establishment's trying to censor all of this and shut all this down. They don't want people to know that their loved ones were murdered in the hospitals under COVID protocols. So thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure having you on. It's also a little horrifying, the things that you bring to us.
I wish I was, I got to be honest with you. Someday, Mike, you and I will get together and we'll be able to chat about something positive. But,
yeah,
you know, I guess in some sense, though, God's good, right? He lets us be fighters. He lets us be warriors in this. And he lets us bring forth new news and new information and new things that we can fight on to move this ball down the field. So it's an honor to do that. And I guess it's good that at least we're given the opportunity to fight, because
that's right.
Someone's got to do it.
Yeah. Without God's protection, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be able to do this. And also, without your support, those of you watching, thank you for supporting both of us, and please reach out and support TomRenz.com as well. So, thank you, Tom, and God bless you for all that you do and for the courage that you demonstrate here today. We are with you. We, the people, the real Americans, we are fighting for the survival of our families and our country. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, take care. And for those of you who enjoyed this interview, always you have permission to repost it elsewhere as well, so please do so. Thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. The video network that I built and founded so that we can have conversations like this without censorship. And thank you for watching today. God bless you all, and God bless America. Take care. Today's interview is brought to you by two sponsors that can help you grow food. The first is arkseedkits.com. And this seed kit here, which is available at the website, arkseedkits.com. These are heirloom non-GMO seeds, so you can save the seeds and you can replant them generation after generation. You're going to need this to grow your own food. And if you want to know how to grow your own food, well, you need this. Marjorie Wildcraft's website here, icangrowfood.com, gets you to this, where you can watch this free webinar from Marjorie Wildcraft, who's a frequent guest here. You just enter your name and email, you sign up, and she will teach you how to grow an enormous amount of food in a very small space, just about three parking lot spaces. I mean, three parking spaces for a car, that equivalent in terms of yard space, will allow you to grow up to 50% of your food. You'll learn that from Marjorie Wildcraft at icangrowfood.com. And with the seeds plus the knowledge, you can't go wrong. All you need is sunlight, water, and carbon dioxide, and the CO2 is floating around for free, and the sun is free, and the water falls out of the sky, so how can you go wrong? But check it out and learn to grow food now while you have time. Thanks for watching. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, and I'm joined today by another founder of another organization, one that you are probably familiar with. His name is Tony Lyons. Well, he is the co-founder of a group, a super PAC right now, that you need to know about, called AmericanValues2024.org is the website. But he's also the president and publisher of Skyhorse Publishing, which I think is America's greatest book publisher. It publishes all the best books, including Robert F. Kennedy's book, The Truth About Fauci, and Mickey Willis's book. And coming up someday here soon, maybe even my book on survival and nutrition, if my staff can help get all that wrapped up. But anyway, Tony Lyons, it's awesome to have you on. I'm a great admirer of you and your work and your company. Thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
You are, I think, the busiest guy I know. You're doing so many things, and now you've co-founded this Super PAC. First, tell us about the Super PAC. Why did you decide to take on another responsibility because you already handle so much?
Yeah, so my feeling is that Bobby Kennedy is just an incredible candidate, and that when you look at the other options, and specifically when you look at President Joe Biden, you really see that we have to get a president who is intelligent, who is thoughtful, who has done an incredible amount of research, and who really cares about this country and is honest. And I think that's what you get with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And so I want to be part of him becoming president, and I want to do everything that I can to make that happen.
Wow. Well, okay. There's a succinct answer, and thank you for that. And I tend to agree with you. As you know, I interviewed Bobby Kennedy, last week or so, and he's very intelligent, very well-informed, very articulate, and he just knows about everything. That's what's stunning, is you can ask him about Ukraine, or you can ask him about energy, or you can ask him about even some tech or finance or whatever. He knows this stuff. Because he reads, he does research, he writes, he's a speaker, he's active. I agree with your assessment. What do you think is his pathway to victory for the Democrat nomination?
So I think that Biden is a terrible candidate, and so if it was fair, and if Robert F. Kennedy Jr. can really get a voice and be heard by the people in this country, they will choose him over Biden, for the nomination. And,
yes.
So the problem is that there's so much censorship in this country now. And, many people don't recognize it, but, Bobby Kennedy is a candidate for president, and he can't even get a fair shake from ABC News.
So
he,
right.
Went on to their show. He taped a really good segment, and then they went back and they took out everything that they didn't like, and they then bookended it with disclaimers saying that it was all misinformation, that you shouldn't trust what he says. And that's not supposed to happen in this country. So, my feeling is that that his pathway is the pathway of open dialogue and debate.
Yeah, I mean, what you just described, what they did to him at ABC, it's unconscionable, and it shows you that the media is in the pocket of the current regime in power, which I believe to be illegitimately in power, by the way, although I know opinions vary on that. But what RFK Jr. is facing now is the corruption and the cover-ups and the deception of the party that he has chosen to be affiliated with. He's a Democrat, and I would say he's an old school Democrat, the kind of Democrat that actually his whole family, for the most part, had pro-America values. And think about his uncle, JFK. He was trying to help America, trying to get an honest money system, and the CIA had him assassinated. How is RFK supposed to fight the corruption of his own party to even win the nomination fair and square?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough road, but I think, like I said, that when people hear him, they will recognize that he's an old school Democrat, that he's what we've been calling a Kennedy Democrat, which is not like the Democrats now. So the Democrats now are pro-war, which the old Democratic Party never was. They are anti-free speech, which the old Democratic Party never was.
Right.
So, with those kinds of things, he wants to bring the Democratic Party back to where it was before.
Yeah.
With values that it had before, with the constitutional values. And, so the Democratic Party now also really wants to take away many of our constitutional rights. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been fighting for the last 40 years to protect Americans. He's been suing the government, suing big corporations who are trying to collude to make as much money from the people of this country as they can, at the expense of our health and our welfare.
So the Super PAC that you co-founded, American Values 2024, I have it up on my screen here. How does this work? I know it's not affiliated with the Bobby Kennedy campaign, but how much money can people donate to the Super PAC? What does the Super PAC do with that money?
Sure. So, you know, people can donate as much money as they want. So when they donate money directly to a candidate, there's a, you know, sort of a low cap on how much they can donate. It's $3,300 for the current period, and then a total of $6,600 for the entire next 18 months. But to a super PAC, there's no limit to how much you can donate. And then as far as what we would do with it, you know, we would work in every way we can to make people aware of what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. believes, what he would do as president, how he differs from Biden or from any other candidates. So we've started out by placing advertisements in, you know, all of the major newspapers, full page ads, telling the four or five main things that he would likely do as president. And, you know, so that I think is a start. But you know,
are you saying you've already taken out those full page ads?
Yes.
Those have already run?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's great news. Can you tell us about the four or five points that those ads talk about?
Sure. So, you know, one of them is he would focus on an anti-war policy where we would try to bring our troops home, try to spend the money that we've been spending all around the world fighting these, you know, forever wars, these endless wars with no real objectives, and take that money and give it to the American people and try to rebuild the middle class. Because what's happened during the last 3 years, but before that too, is that the middle class has been gutted.
Absolutely. And so
during the pandemic, I think the stats are that there was one billionaire created every day. So while the rest of the country was getting poorer and poorer, billionaires were reaping these huge windfalls from it. So that's the kind of thing that Bobby Kennedy wants to end. And he wants to protect the American people and have their lives get better and better. And, you know, not focus on trying to change, you know, the leadership of countries all around the world. Try to focus on having good leadership here and having good policies here that benefit people in this country. And maybe that's the best way to change the world, is to go back to that concept of the United States being a city on a hill that people would look up to.
So we still have quite a bit of time here, obviously, before the 2024 election, but Bobby Kennedy has to, he's got to compete for the nomination. And I think the strategy of the mainstream media is to just shut him out so nobody even hears what he has to say. No one even knows he's a candidate, and then just kind of shove Joe Biden back into the White House, which is what they did the first time too, by the way. How could the Democrats even pretend that they represent democracy when they won't let one of their own candidates have a debate? It's incredible.
You know, that's a great point. I mean, I think that the people in this country ought to have a right to see Bobby Kennedy on a stage with Joe Biden and decide for themselves whether they think his policies represent what they believe or Joe Biden's policies do. And I don't think there are many people in this country who would believe that if they heard the two of them debate.
Yeah, that's right. And especially, I think the issue that is generating a lot of crossover interest from the Republican Party to Bobby Kennedy is his stance on, of course, vaccines, the NIH, Fauci, and so on. And just to be clear, he's not an anti-vaccine person. He's not opposed to all vaccines. But he's written a whole book that your company published that outlines what I would call crimes against humanity that were carried out with the help of Fauci and others through the NIAID, the NIH, and so on. And frankly, Robert F. Kennedy is the only candidate from any party that is willing to stand up and shout the truth about those issues. Even Trump won't say those things. How astonishing is that?
Yeah, I mean, he is not only the only really honest politician in this country, I mean, from my perspective, but he's also really been brave. and he's risked everything. So he's gone out there and he's lost all kinds of board memberships, personal friendships, jobs, family connections, because he's been unwilling to just cave in. He's been unwilling to say things that he doesn't believe. And, you know, when's the last time in this country we had a really honest politician who was just going to do the research and follow it anywhere it goes and tell the American people the truth? So I think that, you know, that's what he really stands for at his core. So you may disagree with many things that he says on, you know, specific issues, but what you get with Kennedy is somebody who's open to ideas, open to dialogue, and who may well change his mind.
Well, I'm really glad you mentioned that, because even I don't agree with him on every single point. And I don't agree with Trump on every single point. But just like you said, Tony, that Robert Kennedy is willing to learn and listen. He is he's inquisitive. He's thoughtful. He's mindful. And he's compassionate. He cares about humanity. He cares about the environment from a true environmentalist point of view. And he speaks out against the authoritarian tyranny that has been invoked by under the climate label to try to, you know, destroy the way of life that we know, even though he is very much concerned. He's very much opposed to, let's say, you know, coal-fired power plants. But at least with Robert Kennedy, you can reason with him. You're talking to a reasonable man. You can debate. You might arrive at different conclusions, but you're not talking to, you know, a brain dead zombie puppet, a placeholder, which I would consider Biden to be a placeholder. That's my opinion, not yours, but I think Biden's just a placeholder and someone else is controlling him. He's the first presidential puppet that we've ever had in the United States who is hardly aware of where he is. That's gotta end. I don't care which party at this point. We need a real human being who is thoughtful and intelligent and has morals and ethics. If that's a D, if that's an R, if that's an L, if that's an I, it doesn't matter to me. Let's get real people back in the White House. How about that?
Yeah, we definitely need to have a president that we can be proud of. And I don't think you can be proud of a president who can't remember his lines, who can't have a real debate with anybody, not even with another candidate. He can't answer questions that a reporter asks him if he doesn't have a crib sheet. And, you know, Bobby Kennedy, you know, when he announced that he was running for president, he spoke for nearly 2 hours in Boston without any notes.
Yes.
With nothing, with no teleprompter, nothing. Off the top of his head, he spoke intelligently and wisely about, you know, all of the major issues that are, you know, critical to the future of this country. And we need politicians who can do that. And there have to be people in this country who can. And Bobby Kennedy is certainly one of them.
I agree with you. And it's clear, by the way, he's not going to get any support from Pfizer. So it's critical for all of you watching, consider donating to AmericanValues2024.org. That's the super PAC that Tony Lyons here is the co-founder of. And they will spend your donation money to raise awareness on behalf of the issues that Robert F. Kennedy is bringing to light. And in fact, I would like to ask you, Tony, what are the next projects? Where else would you spend money should that money appear?
Yeah, so I think that it would be, you know, that there are lots of different ways to spend money. But, you know, so one of them, like I said, is trying to get people directed to their website, to teamkennedy.com, where they can get more involved, they can learn more as far as what Bobby Kennedy stands for and what he would do on each issue. So that, I think, is a big part of it too. But it's such a big struggle in this country now, where there's been so much censorship and so much propaganda that, you know, people don't really know who the candidates are. They only know how the sort of myopic media has, you know, steered them to view a particular candidate. And so a big part of the super PAC's job is going to be to tell the truth and to make it possible for the public to see the truth about who this particular candidate is.
Yeah, and I want to congratulate you, Tony, too, because you have spearheaded the publishing of so many books that also reflect the same kind of courage and truth that you're speaking about right now. You've represented numerous authors. I mentioned, you know, Mickey Willis earlier, as well as, of course, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And myself. We are under contract for a book on survival nutrition. So thank you for doing that. But beyond that, I mean, you represent the who's who of, I think, the most courageous voices of our era, and you're fearless about it. You know, you just go to work and you get the books published and you get them out there. And then many of these books end up being, you know, bestsellers. I mean, really top of the charts. If they're not sometimes censored off the New York Times bestseller list, they end up being top selling books. Can you go through some of the authors that you've represented?
Yeah. So, you know, some of the ones that we've done in the last few months are Cause Unknown by Ed Dowd, which I think is just an incredibly important book, because you know, just to go into a little bit of the background there is that, you know, we were told by every major leader, you know, on the right and the left, you know, in 2021, but also by every major mainstream media outlet that vaccines were safe, that they were effective, that they were going to end the pandemic, that they were, you know, they were going to save us in this, you know, crisis. And so what we had first was Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s book, The Real Anthony Fauci, coming out. And he worked incredibly hard to get to the bottom of the story and to warn the American public about what was going to happen. And to sort of try to steer the public towards ways of handling that historical moment better. And so the whole world kind of came down on him. Dr. Fauci used, you know, every trick that he could, every bit of power that he had, manipulated the media, just did everything possible. And so some people heard that story, and the book wound up selling 1 million copies. And there was a whole,
wow,
whole of us going on to shows, to podcasts, to radio shows. But the amazing thing is that the most censored book of the last 3 years was also one of the best selling. So it was kept off, like you said, bestseller list, and you couldn't advertise for it. And many bookstores wouldn't carry it. Libraries wouldn't carry it. But the amazing thing is not that it sold 1 million copies. It's that if a book that's that censored sells 1 million copies, then you know that it could have probably sold 10 million copies.
That's right.
And you start to see what's happened since then, which is that millions and millions of people are unwilling to be fooled by a corrupt government and these big, greedy pharmaceutical companies. So they are coming out, and there are so many new venues, and there's so many, you know, millions of people willing to take risk now that weren't before. And so I think that really bodes well for Bobby Kennedy as a candidate, because I think the American people has seen what it feels like to be lied to by the people who you put in power, and lied to by the most powerful, you know, corporate officials in the country, maybe in the world. So, you know, many of our books told pieces of that kind of story. So we published Lies My Government Told Me by Dr. Robert Malone, Mickey Willis's book, Plandemic, like you mentioned. I mean, that's a fantastic book and a fantastic story of the most watched documentary in the history of the world. And he's now coming out with part three of it. It's just a couple of weeks from now. But he's another one of those really brave people. So, you know, you have Malone, Dr. McCullough wrote a book for us, Ed Dowd, you know, so, and then many of the others. I mean, there were books that we published on both sides. So we published the case against wearing masks and the case for wearing masks. And then we published the case for, you know, lockdowns or, you know, any of the major issues. We tried to publish books on both sides,
right,
just to be fair, so that the public could really see both sides of the story. And what we found time after time was that that the government would not allow both sides of the story to be told, and that they wrote letters to big tech companies to get them to take books down, that they took things, as you well know, took things off YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, deplatformed people in all kinds of ways. And I mean, you have suffered through many of this sort of thing too. But, you know, so we've been fighting back by publishing all of these books. And I think that they've gotten through to a big segment of the population. And I'm hoping that that continues.
Absolutely, they have. And yeah, it's interesting that you and I are both publishers, and we've both been heavily censored. And we're living in an age of digital book burning. I mean, this is like the Third Reich on steroids now, with the level of government mandated censorship and deplatforming of content, including books like you mentioned, but also websites like mine. This is why I ended up building this platform, Brighteon, so that we can even speak, you know. And it took many millions of dollars to build this platform and roll it out, and now millions of people use it. So it's kind of like with your books, you know, the grassroots support keeps demanding more and more truth. And even Robert F. Kennedy said it himself. He says, you know, well, this is a paraphrase of what he said. And I think Tucker Carlson said something very similar, but the more you speak the truth, the more powerful you are in society, a loose paraphrase. But there's absolute truth in that. The more we tell the truth, the more people are attracted to our message because it resonates with them. And that's what Bobby Kennedy is all about right now. He's the one voice standing up and just screaming the truth, but not in a wild-eyed kind of way. It's a very meticulous, documented way. The facts are on his side as he talks about these things. And your company, Tony, has been, you know, courageous enough to organize those facts in book format and publish it. And next question to you, I want to ask you this. When I interviewed Bobby, he said that he supports the criminal investigations and potential prosecutions of anyone who lied to the American people, who was in a position of power. And that would be prosecuting potentially thousands of public and private medical experts and doctors and so on, if they committed fraud against the American people. Do you think that kind of action is necessary for us to restore public faith in medicine and science?
Yeah, so I think, you know, there's a great quote that people who forget the past are destined to repeat it. And I think that a strong statement has to be made that, you know, with all of these incredibly powerful people lying to the American public over this 3-year period, that there has to be some kind of truth and reconciliation, that there has to be some kind of accountability. So I don't think that it winds up being thousands of people. I think that if you prosecuted, you know, 50 people or 100 people at the highest levels, you would get most of the corruption and you would make a really strong statement. So, you know, what Bobby has said many times is that even when he looks at these corrupt agencies who are supposed to be regulating big pharmaceutical companies or big agricultural companies or big oil companies, you know, that most of the people working there, that he often says 90% of the people working there are upstanding, hardworking people who are trying to do the right thing. And the problem is that often the most corrupt, the least honest people rise to the top in the kinds of systems that we have in place now. So we have a government where the most corrupt people benefit because they're willing to take money from companies that they're supposed to be at odds with, that they're supposed to be looking at them carefully with a critical eye. Not that all companies are bad or doing bad things, but we need a government that looks at a big pharmaceutical company and, you know, holds them to the fire and says, if you're going to get the protection of the U.S. government, you know, you have to really do your research and you have to prove to us that you're looking out for the welfare of the people in this country.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well said, because, you know, the FDA grants exclusivity, emergency use authorization, and also legal immunity to these corporations that are making clearly defective products that are harming and killing and maiming lots of people. Let me shift gears just a little bit here, Tony. I've predicted that if Robert F. Kennedy gets the nomination, he wins this thing, even if he's up against Trump. But if he doesn't get the nomination, then if it's Biden versus Trump, then Trump wins this. So, I mean, Trump, I think, is the presumptive nominee on the Republican side. Even if they arrest him and throw him in jail, he can probably still win just because of the outpouring of support and how many people are fed up with the Biden regime. But if the Democrats were wise enough, they would you know, show Biden the exit and bring in Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who would get all these crossover votes from Trump people who are, frankly, very frustrated with Trump for Trump's position on taking money from Pfizer and Operation Warp Speed and all of that. So isn't it interesting that Bobby Kennedy is actually sort of the pivot point of whether Democrats or Republicans win in 2024, at least in my analysis?
Yeah, I mean, I feel really strongly that you're right. That if he got the nomination, he would win by a lot, because he would get, you know, every Democrat voting for him. He would get a lot of independents, and he would get many Republicans voting for him. So I think that, you know, and that's part of what his campaign, you know, needs to be focused on, which is healing the divide. Sure. That, you know, this has to be one country. You know, we are all Americans, and he's been saying that. He's been saying that he wants people to think of themselves not as Democrats or Republicans, but as Americans. And I think that this is a period where we really need that, where we need to be one country.
Well, I completely agree, and I see RFK also as a healer, as you do, and he is, of course, perhaps politically described as more of a centrist, but really a lot of his policies or a lot of his positions on policies, I think, would get a lot of agreement from conservatives today. For example, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of worship. And I think it's also valuable that Bobby has himself been a victim of the censorship and the defamation and the blacklisting, because now he understands it. And frankly, if you haven't been through that, you can't really understand it. I mean, you've been through it, Tony, at your company. I've been through it in spades. Trump has been through it, and so has Bobby. You know, God help us. We need somebody in charge who knows what it's like to be targeted with civil rights violations of censorship and blacklisting. What do you think?
Sure. I mean, the tools that have been used in this last three-year period would really be the envy, I think, of any dictator in history, and that, you know, we have to recognize that we've been subjected to this sort of fascism that we always thought wouldn't happen in this country. We thought it would happen in China or in Russia or in other places, but we were always proud that there was a real democracy here. And in the last 3 years, that hasn't been true. I mean, if somebody wants to shut you down, they should make better arguments. You know, they should have a competing show, and they should talk about something you said and then make an argument that you're wrong and that they have a better way of describing something, or
instead of just silencing you.
So, you know, to silence people at the level that they've been silenced over this last 3 year period is so un-American. And it really shows you that this period hasn't been about right and left. It's been about right and wrong. You know, it's been about our basic rights being taken from us.
That's right. And yeah, I see Bobby Kennedy as being very strongly opposed to the authoritarian tendencies of any government, any party. And yet, you know, honestly stated, the Democrat Party is the party that has taken this authoritarianism to a whole new level of, I would say, criminality and treason, frankly, with what they've done. I know that Bobby doesn't stand for all that stuff. Like, the Democrat Party has run away from the Democrats. You know, the Democrat Party has become, at least the establishment of it, has become kind of this Marxist party. But then also at the same time, the Republican establishment has become so anti-America that they don't want Trump either. So we have two candidates now, with Bobby Kennedy and Donald Trump, that are both being rejected by their own parties because both parties are corrupt establishment, you know, protectorates that really don't value American values, I would say.
Sure. So, you know, you clearly do have two presidential candidates in Donald Trump and Bobby Kennedy who are routinely censored. And, you know, that doesn't seem like something that would happen in a functioning democracy. You know, people are allowed to disagree with anyone who they want to, but they should do it by arguments. They should do it by, you know, really fierce debate. And that, I think, makes all of our lives better. It's not just about somebody sort of coming up with something that they believe is true. They have to convince us in a democracy. And so, you know, I would love to see at some point a debate between Bobby Kennedy and Joe Biden, but I'd also like to see a debate between Bobby Kennedy and Donald Trump.
Me too.
Which I think would be really interesting. And I think, you know, as I said before, the American public deserve these debates. They deserve the opportunity to see who their leaders are and not just the analysis by people who are trying to push all of us towards a specific outcome.
So how do we, the people, pressure the DNC to restore debates that used to be a normal part of the democratic process, but they've announced they're canceling them this time? Can we pressure them and to get them to reconsider that decision? Is there any chance of that? I mean, how can they ever let Joe Biden debate anyone?
Yeah, that's a problem. I mean, on the one hand, we really have to have debates. And Biden really has to tell us what he believes, what he's going to do. He has already, you know, gone back on, you know, serious promises that he made as a candidate. So we need to know, you know, who is the real Joe Biden and who is the real Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And the real Joe Biden is very different than the one who campaigned and the one who people voted for. And the real RFK Jr. is somebody very different than the one who's been portrayed in the mainstream media.
Yeah, that exactly right. But how much time? I'm not even familiar with the timeline on the Democrat side. I mean, when is the nomination determined?
Well, so there's plenty of time still for that to take place. But I think, you know, to your point, you know, one of the ways people can put pressure on the Democratic Party is to donate to a super PAC that's going to, you know, use as much power as possible to make that an issue that is front and center. So, you know, having billboards all across the country, getting onto shows where many, many people demand that we have open debates in this country. And I think that if there's enough of a groundswell, that if enough people on enough platforms are just saying, you know, we're not going to accept in this country that these kinds of decisions are just made for us. You know, that people didn't come to this country over the last 200 years to be told what to do, what to think, what to put in their bodies. You know, people came here because they believed they were going to have informed consent, but they were going to have real choices in all areas of their lives, including who to vote for and why.
Yeah, well said. The website, folks, is AmericanValues2024.org. So check that out if you'd like to donate to that super PAC. And apparently it's an unlimited donation that is allowed. And then also, if you want to go to just separate from the super PAC, but I interviewed Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and his website, I believe, is Kennedy24.com. Let me bring that up to make sure that's the case. And what you can do there is just join his email list. Yeah, here it is, Kennedy24.com. Just join his email list there. Put your email, your name, and your zip code. And he can keep you informed. His official campaign can keep you informed. And that's separate from the super PAC that, you know, with Tony Lyons here. But I just wanted to mention that because I've interviewed him. Back to you, Tony. So wrapping this up, you know, what's the big picture here? I mean, you sound very enthusiastic, but you also haven't sounded like you haven't issued a big warning, you know, saying things like, well, this is our last chance for democracy in America. But do you want to speak to that? Because a lot of us feel that way right now, that if we don't get our election system back in some way that we're gone as a nation. Do you feel that, or are we not there yet?
Yeah, I definitely feel that. I mean, I think that when you look at some of the things that were done in the last, you know, couple of cycles, where, for example, the laptop from Joe Biden's son is misrepresented to the American people, so that they're told that it's a Russia hoax, you know, something like that. So people have various views on sort of like what types of election fraud have actually taken place. But I think that there's no question that there has been election fraud, and that failing to have really full debates is a form of election fraud, that we have a right to hear what people think and to really listen to arguments from our candidates so that we're really making a choice. And I think that what we've just seen in the last 3 years, you know, is a precursor to a much more scary future, which is the kind of future where we wouldn't have any rights to make any important decisions for ourselves. Yes. And that, I think, is really what's at stake here. And I think that when you look at why Bobby Kennedy's running now, so there's a biography of him coming out by best-selling author Dick Russell, and it's called The Real RFK Jr. And one of the things that you see in that book is that he thought that he might run for senator or for president many, many times over the last 30, 40 years. And he always thought that the time wasn't right, that he wanted to focus on his family. But what he came to now was that there's never been a time in the history of this country that is more fraught with danger, and danger to all of our constitutional rights. I mean, danger to everything it is to be an American. And that's why he decided that he had to run now, that after a lifetime of deciding to take other paths, he thinks that this is the turning point in the history of this country.
Yeah, and I see him as someone, he doesn't seek power. He's doing this almost as a last option, because it's necessary, because he has the mind, the leadership, even the family name, to be able to make a difference. And he's rising to the occasion, not because he wants to rule over people, but because he wants to stop the tyrants from ruling over people. That's what I see him doing.
Yeah, he has routinely given up everything. I mean, he isn't looking for more power. He isn't looking for more money. He donates the royalties for all of his books to Children's Health Defense. So, you know, he's doing everything that he's doing 100% based on values.
Yes.
Based on his desire to do what he thinks is best for the people of this country. And when you look at Joe Biden, it really looks like it's about money and power. And when you look at Dr. Fauci, you see it's just about corruption, money, power. So you see that in candidate after candidate and public official after public official. And what you would be voting for if you voted for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a change to that way of running a democracy, so that we would take money out of politics and we would have a real democracy once again.
Yeah, well said. Thank you for joining me today, Tony. It's an honor to have you on, and I really honor the courage and determination that you exercise daily with Skyhorse Publishing and with this super PAC as well. Again, AmericanValues2024.org is the website, folks, if you want to donate to it. There's no limit of donations. And Tony, can that be personal and corporate donations as well?
Yes.
Okay, so no limit on either one. And folks, just if you believe in what Robert F. Kennedy stands for, consider making a donation. I'm going to consider it as well. But in any case, thank you so much, Tony, for joining us today. This has been a really intriguing and enlightening conversation.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. Pleasure to have you. Take care and have a great day. I know you have 1,000 other things to do as a publisher, so I'll let you get back to it. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot.
All right. And folks, feel free, as always, to repost this interview on other platforms. And this is a great conversation. This is a critical time for our country. So definitely consider supporting this super PAC, AmericanValues2024.org, because we know that Joe Biden doesn't support American values at all. That's for sure. But if you believe in American values, consider this super PAC. And also, by the way, my door is open to anybody from Team Trump that wants to come in and do an interview. I put out a couple of feelers to some people who I think have a line with Trump. Doesn't have to be Trump himself. Trump's people. I've interviewed Kash Patel in the past. I just want to let you know I'm giving you equal airtime here on the show. So come on, we'll talk about the issues and maybe help raise some funds for Trump. Just reach out to me. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for watching today. Brighteon.com and also the publisher of naturalnews.com. Take care, everybody. God bless America. Today's interview is brought to you by healthrangerstore.com. And as the weather is getting hotter and you're sweating more, you might need to replenish your electrolytes, which are, you know, natural, frankly, conductive elements that work throughout your body to help, to allow you to function at a cellular level, not to mention neurologically or cardiovascularly. Check out what I have on my desk here. We've got electrolyte drops in a 2-ounce bottle format and also an 8-ounce bottle format, two different formulations. And if you go to our website, you can get them in volume here. You can get 6 of the 2 ounces or up to 6 of the electrolyte drops in 8 ounces. These are all laboratory tested for heavy metals like we do everything. So they're tested for lead and cadmium, arsenic and mercury. And plus, it's got what plants crave. So you can't go wrong. Electrolytes. Better than Brondo. So check it out at healthrangerstore.com and thank you for your support.